Blog Talk Radio.
There it is, guys. The song Shattered Dreams. Does that not fit fantasy football after 5 weeks? Well, I tell you what. Sing it with me, brothers. Let's sing a new song talking about fantasy football shattered teams. Woo! So much for your promises. They died the day we drafted. Caught up in a web of lies, but it was just too late to know. I thought it was you, CJ Anderson. Man, all you're giving me, is Bishop Sankey. Feel like I should run away from DeMarco Murray. Man, I thought you'd try for me. Woke up in week 3 and found the future not so bright. I dreamt the impossible, that maybe things could work out right. I thought it was you, Jimmy Graham. Man, boy, was I wrong. Giving me nothing but fumbles from Frank Gore. Now Ahmad Bradshaw signed. I'm crying on the floor. Giving me nothing but shattered teams. Feel like I should run away. Hell, someone's got to score. I tell you, Andrew Luck and Drew Brees can't score. Their shoulders are too sore. Tony Romo's collarbone made me groan. Dez Bryant broke his foot and my heart. Brandon Cooks, you're a crook. I feel robbed. I want my draft pick back. Jeez, it's just killing me. Oh, just feel like I should run away. I mean, someone has to. Sure as hell isn't going to be Jamaal Charles with his torn ACL. Giving me nothing but shattered teams. Peyton Manning, thanks a lot, Kubiak, you bastard. Shattered teams, that's what you've given me. Shattered teams. So there you have it. Thank you very much. First and possibly only time I will ever sing on the song on the show. 7th, 8th, and 9th grade choir paying off there, boys. Boom! With sub-500 records as we approach the halfway mark of the season, nearly half the league is singing that tune, Shattered Teams. The other half knows it all too well. Enough about the disappointing things in life, though. It's time for the show that sets the bar so low that it can't possibly let you down. I'm talking about the King for a Day Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host and the commissioner of the King for a Day Fantasy Football League, Rick Goreski. Today's show centers on a review of Week 5, so let's dig into some league-wide info here. Like Week 4, Week 5 was conference play as teams once again played outside their division. Once again, the Red Division takes it on the chin as they noticeably go 1-3 in conference play. Last week, I think they were 0-4. They were joined by the Blue and Gold Divisions, who also this week went 1-3 in conference play. Every yin has its yang, so as those divisions struggled, the Purple Division went 4-0 and the Silver Division 3-1. Compared to other weeks, Week 5's scoring average of 77.2 was a tad lower, but nothing like the disastrous Week 4 average of 70 points per team. Week 5 was just 3 points off Week 1's average score of 80 and 7 points off Week 2's average of 84. In the Battle of the Benjamins, we saw 4 teams hit the century mark, including both Lost in the Sauce and Legion of Doom, chiming in with 123 each. It's a lot of points. Saiyans came in at 109 and the Beermans Brawlers at 104. For the record, that is one team from the Gothic and 3 teams from the Renaissance this past week at 100 points or more. That brings the season standings to 9 100-point efforts for the Gothic Conference compared to 14 for the Renaissance Conference. Believe it or not, Bierman can't catch a break as he scores the 4th most points in the league, only to end up facing the guy who scored the most points in the league. Talk about a tough luck loss. Man, we'll get to that a little later. Let's go ahead and review the reason why I keep my day job, which now we can add lounge singer to the acts that I mercifully don't do for a living. I went 4-2 in the Gothic and 4-2 in the Renaissance Conference with my predictions last week. That makes me 8-4 for Week 5, 28-20 overall for the year. Remember, I didn't pick Week 1. Last week, Kurt Kujawa picked games with me. Kurt finished last week 4-2 in the Gothic and 4-2 in the Renaissance, also finishing 8-4 like me for the week. Kurt's going to pick again with me this week, so look for that show. It's coming up. Let's get recapping, though. The actual games, Week 5's theme depended on what conference you were in. In the Gothic Conference, the theme remained blowouts, including what may be the league record for biggest blowout ever. In the Renaissance, it was a rare thriller theme, as half the games were decided by single digits, and a fourth was a barn burner. As I mentioned, Gar, the Beermans Brawlers, taking on Lost in the Sauce in a game where both teams just lit up the scoreboard. In the Gothic Conference, I mean, grab my breath here, guys. Damage Inc. bests the Wolfpack by a score of 95-67. For the victorious Damage Inc., they put up 95 points despite being without their top draft pick, Andrew Luck, for a second consecutive game. Pardon me, guys, just had to clear my throat. Continuing to soothe the pain of Damage being without their top gun is the hottest player in fantasy football, Devontae Freeman, whose 15 points led 5 players scoring double digits for Damage. He got 12 from running back Rawls, 11 from DeQuell Jackson, and 10 apiece from Daryl Smith and Charles Woodson. For Wolfpack, they just can't catch a break right now. Brian Gitter is trying to make the right moves. He's pulling on the levers to try to help his team win, but thus far he's found more bad luck than good. This week, Wolfpack had 2 players, Le'Veon Bell at 12 and 16 from Navarro Bowman, in their lineup with double-digit points, while 3 scored double-digit points on their bench, including David Johnson with 12, Greg Hardy with 10, and Danny Trevathan with 11. Particularly painful for Wolfpack in this one happens to be a negative 6-point performance from quarterback Matt Ryan, while Drew Brees was on the bench with 9 points. That's a 15-point turnaround with one starting decision right there. Wolfpack has the players. He's just got to get the lineup right, and that's evident by the fact that Best Ball actually had Wolfpack winning this match 116-109. Next up, in a battle of teams that were on a combined 7-game losing streak, it was the Made Men getting their first win of the year at the cost of the Pale Riders. Final score was 93-82. Made Men only put 2 guys in double digits. He got 19 from Andy Dalton and 11 from Jamie Collins, but those 2 players ended up scoring nearly a third of the Made Men's overall score. If you had to point to one reason for the Made Men getting their first win, it would be the fact that they were nearly perfect in setting their lineup this past week. Owner Kurt Thrasher came within 6 points of his highest possible lineup in this one. I guess he had to be almost perfect to get his first win with the way things were going. For Tom Buckle's squad, coming off consecutive weeks with major trades, the results were mixed. Some of those moves, like getting 18 points from Antonio Gates, paid off big time. But at the same point, other moves such as picking up 3 points from David Carr flopped. At the end of the day, this entire match for the Pale Riders came down to one single game decision, that being putting Doug Martin and his 24 points on the bench. Martin on the bench, and thus Pale Riders on a four-game losing streak. Best Ball had Pale Riders winning 122-99. In a game that had to have set a league record for biggest margin of victory, the Legion of Doom annihilated D-Risk by a score of 123-28. And I want you to think about that score for a moment. I think we can all agree that if you score 100 points in King for a Day, you've had a good week. Try not only scoring 100 points, but beat your opponent by 100 points. It was a 95-point victory. For my preseason favorite to win it all, the Legion of Doom looked strong, placing 5 players in double digits, including 19 from Eli Manning, 18 from Tyler Eifert, 13 from Telvin Smith, 12 from Allen Robinson, and 10 from Brandon McManus. 123 points from Legion of Doom, and that was with a goose egg from Antonio Brown. Man, I mean, this team's a beast. For D-Risk, their 3-game win streak gets snapped in what can only be described as a forgettable performance. Not only did they fail to put any players in double figures, but J.J. Watt got blanked. He took a zero. The entire offense scored nothing. I'm serious. D-Risk got a combined 0 points out of their quarterback, 4 offensive flex, and tight end spot. Let's let that sink in. Got nothing out of his entire offense. Best Ball had Legion of Doom winning 129-61. Next game, 4U2NV takes out Make It Rain by a score of 89-52. The magic number was 12 this week for Bork's team as 3 guys, Edelman, Beckham, and John Brown, all scored 12 points in a workmanlike victory for 4U2NV. Solid performance on defense for 4, as all but one player scored 6 points or more. For Make It Rain, the problems on offense continue to prove insurmountable as they get a measly 6 points out of their entire offense, and that included Aaron Rodgers. The hardest thing to stomach if you're Rain is the fact that your old flex and tight end only touched the ball a grand total of 22 times. So, again, you have 4 offensive flex spots plus 1 tight end. That's 5 positions. Out of those 5 positions, it's one thing to say, like, well, my guy didn't score. He only got 78 yards. He only got, 20 carries and ended up with 89 yards. In his case, all of his offense, his offensive flex and tight ends, they only touched the ball between carries and catches 22 times. That's 4.5 touches per player. That's not going to win you many games. You're not going to be able to run that kind of offense out there and win. Best Ball had 4U2NV winning 100-91. The A-Team defeated the Old Helm Ogres by a score of 88-72. A-Team put 3 players in double digits in this one, including an impressive 18 points from Joe Flacco, 15 points from Titan Barnage, and 10 from Brandon Cooks. A-Team wins the game but loses Jamal Charles for the year in the process, so that absolutely stings. Julio Jones pulled up lame in Week 5 here as well, so injuries are mounting for the A-Team. For the Ogres of Old Helm, Bobby Wagner puts up 18 to go with Gostkowski's 12 to lead Ogre Nation. The story for Old Helm continues to be disappointing performances from early round picks Eddie Lacy, who got him 1 point, and Demarius Thomas, nothing. 0 points. Zilch. Nada. Email me if you know some other ways to say it. I'll put it in next show. Matthew Stafford's 1 point effort got him benched against Arizona, and it's likely to get him benched by the Ogres in Week 6, too. Best Ball had the A-Team winning 94-79. Last but not least in the Gothic, The Hurricanes roll past the new-look Muskego Raiders by a final score of 68-56. For the victorious Hurricanes, they can pretty much hand the game ball over to Tom Brady and the Patriots' offense. Brady scored 18 points for the Hurricanes, while Deion Lewis of the Patriots chipped in with 12 of his own to go along with Gronkowski's 3. Altogether, they led the Hurricanes to victory. Combined, the New England trio scored nearly half of the Hurricanes' points. Of their 13 starters, 8 scored less than 6 points for the Hurricanes. As we all know, you can't score high every week, so winning games like this are what usually makes the difference between being in the playoffs or staying home. So a big win for the Hurricanes against a quality opponent. For the Raiders, you won't win many games when your entire offense puts up a total of 9 points. Mariota, the prize acquisition of the trade with the Pale Riders last week, comes off the bye week and lays a surprising 1-point egg against Buffalo. Buffalo, a team that had been giving up a lot of points to the quarterbacks in prior games. It's hard to explain that one, to be honest. Despite no players in double digits on the team, the defense did have 3 players score 8 points or more, and they did their part scoring 35 of the team's 56 overall points. Offense is what really let Muskego down. Best ball had the Hurricanes winning 98-74. Let's move over to the Renaissance Conference now, where the Typhoons keep the Irishmen's losing streak going with a final score of 74-65. Irish have now lost 4 in a row. That's tied for the league lead in a category that you never want to be first in. For the Typhoons, they continue to roll despite missing Ben Roethlisberger. And you have to understand that the Typhoons have Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. So with Big Ben out, downtown Antonio Brown, his stats are down as well. And as I was mentioning with Ty's dad, Ken, and the Hurricanes, the teams that make the playoffs are the ones that can find ways to win when they're not at their best. And that's just what the Typhoons did this week. The Typhoons got 15 from Tyrod Taylor, 12 from Gostkowski, and 10 from Greg Hardy. If you add up the offense, defense, and place kicker, the offense scored 24 points, while the place kicker and defense put up 50. I said early on that Typhoon's defense is just fantastic. That lower half of their lineup is strong, and that's probably going to lead them to the playoffs. For the Irishmen, it's all on Matt Ryan. This entire game, the Irish lose by 9 points, and the fantasy box score shows Matt Ryan with -6 points for the game. If Ryan gets just 1 touchdown and doesn't have all those turnovers, the Irish will win this game. Irish were led by 3 players in double digits, including Seattle running back Thomas Rawls with 12, Cam Chancellor 11, and Tone Bethea with 10. Best ball had the Irish actually winning 89-86. Moving on, the Dirty Hippies edge out Gracie's Got Game by 2 points, 73-71. Despite only having 2 players score more than 10 points, that's Beckham and Dunlop with 12 apiece, the Hippies, of whom are dirty, led by their defense, scored just enough to stave off an upset effort by Gracie's Got Game. The Hippies' home field advantage, defense, and place kicker scored a combined 50 of the team's 73 points. For the Bad Luck Triple G, that's Gracie's Got Game. I'm trying to start up a new nickname, Triple G. Huge efforts by Tom Brady, 18 points, and Le'Veon Bell, 12. And 12 from Telvin Smith, weren't enough to compensate for the 8 players on their team in their lineup that scored 5 points or less, including 3 goose eggs and 2 one-point efforts. With that said, Triple G was 1 5-yard reception from Travis Kelce. All that happened, all the bad stuff that happened, and he was still 1 5-yard reception to Travis Kelce away from winning this game. Talk about frustration. That and having Avery Williamson on the bench with a dozen, that didn't help either. Devastating loss for Gracie as they fall to 1-4 on the season. Best ball had Gracie winning this one 90-87. Moving on, my favorite recap of the week. Not I'm teasing. It's my team, the Gators. The Gators surpassed their win total from 2014 with a 75-48 win over the Champions of Chaos. The Gators put four players in double digits in this one. Eli Manning, 19, Levante David, 11, and 10 apiece from Brandon Cooks and Corey Graham to secure their third consecutive victory, and more importantly, going 2-0 thus far in the all-important Kingford A Conference schedule. Kingford A Conference record always looms big in tiebreakers for wildcard spots, so nice rebound for the Gators after starting 1-2 in their division. For the Champions of Chaos, they lose their third game in a row in depressing fashion, scoring only 48 points for the game and having zero players score double-digit points. The champs aren't getting anything out of their investment that they made in early picks Demaryius Thomas, 0 points, just 5 catches for 55 yards in week 5, Devontae Adams, who was inactive due to injury, and Frank Gore, who did get 6 points in his game but only has 14 points on the year. Having 9 of your 13 starters put up less than 16 points doesn't help your chances either. Champs, frankly, they need to pull off a trade or two in order to salvage the season. They looked great going into the season, but as we all know, you know, how things look on paper versus how it actually comes out in reality. You're 5 weeks in. After this week, you're going to be halfway through the regular season. It's time to make some massive overhaul, massive changes and trades to try to turn things around. Best ball had the Gators winning 96-71. In the battle of the unbeaten teams, the battle of the brothers, it was the Meat Puppets securing brotherly bragging rights and the win over the Kenosha Commandos by a score of 59-53. This one was much lower scoring than anyone anticipated, but it did deliver on excitement as the game wasn't decided until the final gun on the Monday Night Football game between the Chargers and the Steelers. For the Meat Puppets, I've railed on them for starting Johnson of Arizona, but the kid keeps producing, so I'm wrong. And in this game, David Johnson's 12 points not only led the Puppets to victory, it likely was the decisive blow that won the game. Johnson was the only player in double digits for the Meat Puppets. In fact, 8 of the Puppets' 13 starters scored fewer than 6 points, so they don't win without Johnson's 12. With Johnson assuming the goal line duties for Arizona in their three-headed running back rotation, Johnson may be the only reliable running back to play out there in the desert. It's just such a messy situation, and I tend to stay away from committees like that or just situations where you can't count on anything. But if your guy, and it is the way this has fallen, if your guy becomes the goal line back, well, that's a valid play in King for a day, and that's what Steve has with Johnson. So I'm going to throw that out there that I was wrong about Johnson. Keep starting him. He's a damn good play, and he won this game for Steve. For the losing Kenosha Commandos, the game was lost on Monday night. The Meat Puppets took the early lead and then hung on as the Commandos duo of Danny Woodhead and Eric Weddle mustered only 4 points in that Monday night football contest. 4 points. Man, he lost by 6. And he had Woodhead and Weddle going. Both of those guys could only get him 4 points. The Commandos put 2 players at 10 points, including Jay Cutler and Vinny Ray, but they also put 8 players under 6 points for the day, including 5 players at either 1 point or a flat-out goose egg. Hard to win like that. Best ball had the Meat Puppets winning 78-70. And what was the game of the week? Lost in the Sauce scores a league-high 123 points, and believe it or not, they needed almost every one of them because their opponent, the Bierman's Brawlers, scored 104. Lost in the Sauce looking every bit the part of the top team in the Renaissance, possibly the entire league, as they hit the century mark for the 4th time in 5 games. Lost was led by 18 points from Antonio Gates and Carson Palmer, 2 of 6 players who scored 10 points or more, the others being 16 from Navarro Bowman, 14 from Bobby Wagner, 12 apiece from Allen Robinson and Julian Edelman. Lost's offense is ridiculous as they put up a combined 67 points from the quarterback, offensive flex, and tight end spots. Not many teams can do that in King for a day this year. 67 points. I was telling you earlier about teams that got nothing out of their offense, or they got 9 points out of their offense, or maybe 20 points out of their offense. He got 67 points out of his quarterback, flex, and tight end. That's incredible. He's going to win a lot of games doing that. For the Bierman's Brawlers, Gar Nelson's bad luck continues as they explode, only to face one of the three teams in the entire league that could have defeated him on this day. Gar's team has faced the most points this year. Opponents have scored nearly 500 total points in 5 games played. He's averaging 98.8 points per game faced. That's 98.8 points per game faced by the Brawlers. That's nuts. The next closest team is 31 points less than that. The lowest score the Brawlers have faced this year was week one, when the Irishmen took it easy on the Brawlers by only putting up 82. Every time you think you got it tough, go ahead and take a look at what the Bierman's Brawlers are facing, and you'll feel just a little bit better about your own situation in King for a day. Best Ball had lost, winning 142 to 116. Last but not least, in the Renaissance Conference, the Phantoms fall to the Saiyans 109 to 86. I'll say it right now, don't let the Saiyans' record fool you. They're good. They've had a rough schedule of their own to speak of, so don't sleep on the Saiyans. The Saiyans put 4 players in double digits in this one, and 3 more at 9 points. High scores for the Saiyans were 24 from Doug Martin, 12 from Deion Lewis, 11 from DeQuell Jackson, and 10 from Daryl Smith. The Saiyans went with a 2 defensive line formation this week and still scored 109 points. Only 4 players out of the 13 in the lineup put up less than 7 points. That's a damn good week. For Mike Thomas's Phantoms, it's not quite the same as scoring 100 points and losing, but let's be honest, 86 points in King for a day is a really good score. 86 points is going to get, that's going to get you a win in more weeks than not. But unfortunately for the Phantoms, it wasn't enough in week 5. Hurting the Phantoms' chances was the fact that Jamaal Charles tore his ACL in the game. He likely would have picked up more yards and possibly a touchdown or two. So that hurt for sure, but you know what also hurt? Negative 4 points from Peyton Manning. That sure didn't help the cause, especially knowing that Joe Flacco was on the Phantoms' bench with 18 points. That means that that one move alone, moving Flacco in and Manning out, would have been a 22-point swing. You add 18 and take away that negative 4. That's a 22-point swing. The Phantoms were led by 18 points by Tyler Eifert, 11 from Jamie Collins, and 10 from Charles Woodson. Best Ball actually had the Phantoms winning 135 to 114. That's it for the game recaps. Let's go ahead and review the high teams and players of the week. Week 5, the top 5 fantasy scoring teams, Lost in the Sauce and Legion of Doom both tied at 123 for high score. Saiyans had 109, Bierman's Brawlers 104, and Damage Inc. 95. Top quarterbacks, Blake Bortles put up 25, Josh McDown 23, and then Andy Dalton and Eli Manning tied at 19, Tom Brady 5th with 18. Top 5 running backs, Doug Martin put up 24, one of the higher scores by running backs this year. Devontae Freeman 15, along with Justin Forsett 15, Theo Riddick 13, and Deion Lewis 12. Top 5 wide receivers all tied at 12 this week. Julian Edelman, Odell Beckham Jr., Allen Robinson, Anquan Boldin, and Andre Johnson. Top 5 tight ends this week, 2 guys tied at 18, Tyler Eifert and Antonio Gates. Gary Barnage, again, Barnage, that guy owes me money. Little Stripes humor there. It was actually Barnicky, but close enough. 15 points for Barnage, who, hey, guys, I don't think he's really got all that talent. He's been in the league for a long time, and he's just being used right now, so ride the hot hand, right? You know, at 15 points out of Barnage, Brent Celek, the old The old vet Brent Celek manages 9 points, and then a whole bunch of guys tied at 6, started by Darren Fells. Top kickers of the week, 15 from Caleb Sturgis, who I think is kicking for Philadelphia now. Travis Coons puts up 13, Gostkowski 12, along with Josh Brown and Connor Barth. Top five defensive linemen, Fletcher Cox puts up 21 points. I think that was a season high at defensive line. I think it is. I'm not positive, but just off the top of my head, 21 points from Fletcher Cox at defensive line. That's incredible. Some guy named Lawrence Guy put up 13. I can't remember if he plays for the Cowboys. I just absolutely am blanking on that. Carlos Dunlap put up 12. Armani Bryant of, I think, Cleveland put up 10, along with Alan Bailey. Going over to the linebackers, Navarro Bowman, 16 points, led the league. Bobby Wagner and Michael Wilhoit each put up 14. Telvin Smith put up 13, and Avery Williamson, 12. Defensive backs, Tony Jefferson, 16 points. Quinton Rollins of the Packers, 14. Rashad Johnson, Gerard Powers, and Chris Harris all had 13. That's going to be a wrap on the Week 5 review show. The Week 6 preview show is coming up next, so I'll see you on the other side. I'm Rick Goreski saying, don't worry if the first 5 weeks didn't work out the way you hoped. Be happy. Thanks for joining me on another episode of the King for a Day podcast.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry.